Hey, look! Padmapada is crossing the raging river.
Behold a miracle. With every step, there blossoms a sturdy lotus, which bears him on its petal.
Blessed are we to witness this. Glory to Padmapada.
Glory to our Guru.
This is how he came to be called the lotus-footed Padmapada. The Guru was so pleased with the implicit faith of Padmapada that he placed his hands on Padmapada's head. In a trice, the grace of the Guru enabled him to master all knowledge and shine as a brilliant exponent of the ancient wisdom. Salutations to disciples' faith. Salutations to the Guru's infinite blessings.
Is the Guru Purnima festival only for the Hindus?
Definitely not. Haven't you heard Bhagwan saying that, "I have come to foster all faiths, to make a Hindu a better Hindu, a Christian a better Christian, a Muslim a better Muslim."
But that is the universality of Bhagwan. What I wish to know is whether other religions have their gurus.
Yes, we would surely know about it. But before that, let us have a short break. And during the break, we can listen to this song.
Tera pyar paakar, gamon ko mitakar, ye kehta hai dil baar baar. Be with me.
legend says, a guru is like a light who shows one the destination to divinity. What significance does a guru or master hold in other religions?
In all religions, there are preceptors who show the light to humanity. These divine personalities have one thing in common, that is, they work for the benefit of mankind. With compassion in their heart, they bear the sufferings of all and help transform those who go astray and are grief-stricken.
Can you give some examples of such divine masters?
They are popularly known as the messengers of God. They are enlightened with wisdom and work for the sake of humanity. To name a few, Zarathustra, who founded Zoroastrianism, Prophet Muhammad, who started Islam, and Gautama Buddha, who after attaining enlightenment, guided mankind through his sermons and thus was born Buddhism. Jesus Christ went from village to village spreading his new gospel, healing the sick and consoling the troubled. He was the father of Christianity.
How do these masters impart their wisdom to humanity?
Different masters have different styles of teaching depending on the requirement of the disciple, the time, place and circumstance. For example, Jesus Christ was exceedingly liberal in his teachings and never wanted to force anything on others against their will, as he himself had said, "I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He knew fully well that true religious growth should consist in expansion and not in contraction.
We hear that Hindu religion believes in the advent of Lord in human form from time to time to elevate mankind. Do other religions too believe in this phenomenon?
Not exactly, but the Buddhists do believe in the reincarnation of bodhisattvas, who having reached the pinnacle of all spiritual practices, deliberately remain in or return to the world in order to assist the others in their quest for liberation. A bodhisattva is endowed with wisdom of a kind whereby he looks on all beings as though they were victims going to the slaughterhouse, and immense compassion grips him. So, he pours out his love and compassion and attends to them thinking, "I shall become the savior of all beings and set them free from their sufferings." On the other hand, Jainism does not believe in the advent of divine guides, but on the elevation of man to that stage. There are 5 stages of elevation in the spiritual ladder: Sadhu, Upadhyay, Acharya, Tirthankara and Siddha. Once one reaches the 4th stage, he can show the path beyond this life of sorrow and suffering.
Do the teachings of different gurus differ significantly from each other?
This can be explained by the beautiful example of a palace given by Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, a Hindu master. He said that there are many doors to enter the same palace. Similarly, there are many masters who show different paths through different techniques to reach the same goal. Bhagwan always says that paths are many, but goal is one. He illustrates this truth by giving several examples. Jewels are many, but gold is one. Cows are many, but milk is one. Stars are many, but sky is one. Beings are many, but breath is one. So too, modes of worship are many, but the Lord is one. He is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. There is only one religion, the religion of love. There is only one caste, the caste of humanity. There is only one language, the language of the heart. And there is only one God, and He is omnipresent.
Vishnu Mahesha. Sai Brahma Vishnu Mahesha. Shri Guru Parti Vasa.
We have discussed so far how the concept of a guru is universal in nature beyond countries, religions and faiths. We will ask some of our brothers now how the concept of a guru is valid even in their religion. Brother, you follow the Sikh religion. Why don't you tell us how the concept of guru is valid in your religion also?
Most certainly. Guru in the Sikh religion is the one who leads you to Him, that is God. He is our father, mother, guide and only friend. He leads us onto the path of righteousness, truth and ultimately salvation. The doors of Vaheguru's unbound love are open for one and all. He is the epitome of compassion.
Next, I would like to ask you, how do you relate the concept of Guru to Sai Baba?
Swami himself is unbound love. His love and compassion for one and all cannot be described in mere words. He is the ultimate goal of our life. He himself is Guru Nanak, Allah, Jesus Christ and Zoroastra, for all forms are His and all names are His. You pray or worship to any form, the prayer comes to Him, to Swami. Here is a unique opportunity of lifetimes to pray to Him in person and reach the ultimate goal that He himself is.
Thank you, brother. Next we have with us one of our brothers who is a follower of Christianity. Why don't you tell us how the concept of Guru is relevant in Christianity too?
I understand that Guru means a great teacher. Jesus Christ was considered as the Savior, the Messiah. He preached about the brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God. His teachings were universal and he was accessible to all kinds of people. He followed the maxim of all are one, be alike to everyone. The profound teachings of his inspired millions of people around the world, and this proves the fact that he was indeed a great guru.
And how do you relate Jesus Christ and Sai Baba?
Both Jesus Christ and Sai Baba were incredible phenomenon of their times. At both times, both performed miracles and people got attracted to them. Crowds gathered around them. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. I never really understood this. Jesus used a parable. The kingdom of God is like this. It's like a valuable pearl. When you find that pearl, you sell everything you have and go for the pearl. The exact concept of this kingdom of God was made clear to me by Swami. When I came here in Parthi and I saw Swami, I heard his teachings. This concept of kingdom of God, that it is happiness, it's happiness beyond all other forms of happiness, is true happiness which is within you, became very clear to me, and I could experience a bit of this happiness. So I can say that there are many parallels between teachings of Jesus Christ and Swami.
Thank you, brother. Next we'll learn about how the concept of Guru is relevant even in the religion of Islam.
In Islam religion, Prophet Muhammad was the messenger of God. Islam means completely surrendering to Almighty God. Prophet guides, shows the way to reach Almighty Allah. He symbolizes purity and love. The most outstanding characteristics of Prophet's life is the amazing success which he achieved in bringing about a complete transformation in the life of his followers in all aspects. He raised mankind materially, morally and spiritually.
I would like to ask you whether there are any parallels between the teachings of the Holy Quran and the teachings of Bhagwan.
To substantiate this answer, I would like to quote one beautiful surah from the Holy Book Quran. It says, La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulillah. It means, there is only one God, one Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God. As Swami always says, there is only one religion, the religion of love. There is only one caste, the caste of humanity. There is only one language, the language of the heart. And there is only one God, He is omnipresent. This shows how the religion of Islam and the teaching of Bhagwan have many things in common. Only with the constant prayers, faith and devotion we can experience that God is one.
Thank you, brother.
For the past few minutes, many precious gems have been scattered onto our waiting laps. But the most precious one is still yet to come. Bhagwan says, my life is my message.
A message not just for you or for me, but for the entire humanity. His task of fostering mankind began at the tender age of 5. He presented to all with whom he lived a role model to adore, admire and emulate.
Next, we will listen to incidents from Bhagwan's early life when he, as young Satyam, used to teach those around him about how to lead an ideal life. First, we will listen to Bhagwan himself relating to us an incident from his childhood.
School pillalu charu.
After a couple of days, school children gathered.
Pillalu vachi.
They came.
Satya, niu, niu ko drama vestun namu.
We want to enact a play.
Ni drama lo unnatunte ni nekta ko katha madhir rasi.
We want you to compose.
Daanne ko paata madhir katti.
We also include a song.
Ni prapanchani ki prabodhan chavinchali niu mak sahayin cheyali annaru.
And this has to be publicized and propagated. We want your help.
Appudu nenu cheppanu.
Then Bhagwan said,
sare siddhanga undandi. Iddaru pillalu naaku ivvandi annanu.
He said,